use of MRP system. So in MRP sense, a manufacturer is an organization that acquires components or materials and transforms them to produce different items that is sold to the customer. So example of MRP users are warehouses that package products or assembles item into kits for resale. So here it's basically like a trading business where you simply consolidate a package of different products and you sell it like a kit. Assemble custom configuration to order, stocking major units, add-ons, and putting the customized product together for dispatch. Again, this is a similar kind of example like the earlier case of the kit. Restaurants that use a form of MRP to manage ingredients and supplies, inventory and replenishment. Service providers that assemble packages of devices, documents, consumables, and other physical items and provide clients or patients. Building management companies of private and government office, hospital, residential apartment for managing supplies and equipment based on forecasted use. These are much simpler applications. Yes, when you have large number of items, etc., MRP system will certainly help you. It will help you manage your inventories. It will help you manage your operations. But the most complicated application is in the manufacturing sector, where there are value addition processes, where is a transformation of the raw material into finished products. Capacity planning with MRP. So the new version of MRP represents a huge step forward for manufacturing planning. So the new software called Advanced Planning and Scheduling or Advanced Planning Systems optimizes the materials and capacity simultaneously to create a constraint-based plan, a constraint based on capacity, constraint based on labor, constraint based on any other limitation that you have, even in terms of material, etc. So it is a move from the infinite capacity. That means in the earlier version, the capacity was thought to be infinite. So if somebody is asking for 10,000 units per month, the system would assume that that is possible. Now it would actually look at the capacity defined by us and then decide whether it is possible to deliver 10,000 units or not. So model two, finite capacity, model in line with the limited capacities of the companies and need to take this limitations into account. So now it gives you a more realistic scenario as compared to the earlier version, which considered infinite capacity for its planning. MRP software vendors are advancing their products with new technologies and offer more capabilities to user. Machine learning and artificial intelligence for advanced planning processes develop better plans. So there are a lot of things which today, there is a machine learning. As you take decisions, the machine understands how you are taking the decision, what are the considerations you are using, and it also uses artificial intelligence and gives you the best possible solutions. Industrial Internet of Things, or IoT as we call it, or Industry 4, it's a general term used for the inexpensive smart connected sensors. So in IoT, what happens is you have equipment which has got a connectivity with the manufacturer. If there is any malfunction or a defect, even before the equipment breaks down, it sends a message to the manufacturer who can remotely sense what the problem is. He can come and fix the problem before the machine breaks down. So, and this technology uses the internet for communication of the problems or the issues. So that is why it is called the Internet of Things. And it depends on connected sensors and devices, which independently talk to the manufacturer. IoT brings greater quantity of data into planning systems that feed AI, that is artificial intelligence, and machine learning. Cloud deployment offers better security, higher availability, and more reliability and sustainable systems through disciplined backup, failover, and disaster recovery. So today, many of the ERP implementations are not run from servers which are located in the customer premises. If you have to keep a server, there are a lot of security that you have to exercise, including you need to have a room which is very secure, so no unauthorized person has access to it. It has to be such that fire, etc., will not easily affect the servers. It has to have certain firefighting systems based on the CO2 systems, etc. So as even in case of a fire, the servers will be protected and the data will not be lost. So rather than doing all this, the cloud-based system is where people like Google or Microsoft or Amazon, they offer you a storage space where all your data, server data, are located. And they take care of the security, they take care of the reliability of the data, backing up of the data, so there is no failure. They have got mirroring sites where your data is being simultaneously stored in another one or two sites, so that in case something happens and one of the server fails, the data is safe in another place. Finally, in-memory databases being unprecedented performance and speed to MRP systems. So also the speed with which MRP systems operate has undergone a sea change, and they operate with exceptional speeds. The MRP is similar to a living organism. In more than a half century, MRP has progressed from a simple and straightforward calculation to become a comprehensive, intelligent, and vital decision support system. So as I have mentioned, that when you're planning 700 products, you can imagine the kind of value addition that an MRP system does. So what is MRP versus ERP? How are the two different, or how are the two similar? So enterprise resource planning is a direct child of MRP, or say that MRP is a child of ERP, because both are dependent on each other. MRP cannot be a system or application which can run alone, because it requires your demand planning, that is forecasting. It requires your inventory planning, so entire material planning is there. It requires your capacity planning, and this is possible in ERP, because in ERP is a enterprise-wide resource planning. That means it covers every aspect of a enterprise, an organization, covers every function, every operation. The planning function encompasses much more than materials, but even the newest incarnation of ERP can trace their roots directly back to MRP. So you can say that ERP was promoted by MRP, and MRP also was promoted with the advent of ERP. So to identify what is needed, how much is needed, and when it is needed. So ERP has a higher functionality because it does not only MRP, it does many other functions. It handles HR, finance, it handles sales functions, etc. So ERP is a larger cloud or a bubble, and MRP is a part of it. MRP is a child of ERP. Importance of BOM, or bill of material, in MRP. So bill of material, the BOM, is a hierarchical list of all the materials or sub-assemblies and other components needed to make a product. We saw the case of a laptop. So along with their quantities, each usually shown in a parent-child relationship. The finished goods is the parent at the top. So in our case, the laptop is the finished good, which is the parent, and the child will be the sub-assemblies, which will be the CPU, the display, the keyboard, etc., and other sub-assemblies. So the finished goods is the parent at the top of the hierarchy. MRP uses the information from the BOM and other relevant data to calculate how much when and to produce or procure. Advantage of using a bomb. The bill of material lays out a detailed plan that can be easily followed and helps companies with plan purchases of material, track and plan materials, material requirement, estimate material costs, manage inventories, alert to shortages, expediting charges and unplanned downtime, control budget, stay on schedule, maintain records, reduce the waste, identify causes of product failure, replace faulty component fast, find vulnerabilities in software and improve the supply chain security. So these are some of the advantages of using bill of material. Coming to the bill of material structure, bill of material typically has a hierarchical structure. We already talked about it, that there is a parent and a child hierarchy. So with the finished end product at the top, it includes product codes, part descriptions, quantities, costs, and additional specifications. And the most common methods are single level bombs. So if it's a simple product where you bring together certain raw material or components and make a finished product, that's called a single level bomb. But where you have got intermediates which are manufactured, and these intermediates then are used further by way of formulation or by way of assembly to make the final product, so that is termed as a multi-level bomb. So a bomb is used in departments other than manufacturing, such as engineering, design, sales, materials, and plant management. So this is an example of a single level bomb. So as we saw, suppose we are outsourcing for a laptop, the CPU, the display, the keyboard and the mouse. So it's a simple matter of simply assembling these together and you have a laptop ready. So this kind of a bomb is a single level bomb where you are simply assembling the final product. A multi-level bomb is where you are also assembling the individual components which go into making the finished product. So example given, let us say that you are assembling the CPU. Now CPU will consist of a motherboard with hundreds of components on it, with the microprocessor also on it. So each of these sub-assembly, you know, is also a manufacturing process. So here it's a multi-level bomb. So even when the MRP calculates the material requirement, it will look at not only the assemblies which are required for assembling a laptop, it will also go to the level of sub-assemblies and look at the components or parts which are required for its manufacture. And the bill of material of the sub-assembly will exactly tell you how many components and how many numbers are required for a single assembly. So that's a multi-level bomb. Let's look at the different types of bombs. So the types of bombs are manufacturing. So a manufacturing bomb includes a comprehensive list of all the items and sub-assemblies required to make a manufactured, shippable finished good. So basically a finished goods and the components which are required for the finished goods and any sub-assemblies will be defined in this kind of a bomb. Then you have the engineering bomb. So engineering bomb has the component structure from a functional perspective and consists of a technical drawing. There may be more than one engineering bomb for a product as the design is revised. So let us say that there is a spare part or a component, let's say in a car, and if the design is undergoing a change, then the same component will have also a different bomb for the new design. Sales bomb. So it defines the detail of the product prior to assembly in the sales stage. It has the list of finished products and the components required to develop it appear separately in the sales document. So here, let us say that you are selling a kit or you are selling a bundle where you are selling a group of products. So this could become the sales bomb, where you are taking different end products or finished product and you are combining it into another product which is being sold as a bundle. Production bomb. So it is the first half of the manufacturing bomb, a structure list of all components and sub-assemblies used in the making of a finished goods. So production bomb also is, you know, like in chemical industry, etc., the various chemical reactions that you do and the various raw materials which go into manufacture. Assembly bomb, this is essentially for items which are simply assembled. That means you are buying the components and you are assembling them together. So this is the assembly bomb. And here the value addition is in the form of assembly. Configurable bombs are used to define customer specifications and identify the materials for the build, labeling and packaging material. So many a times the bombs are used to meet a specific customer requirement where he wants a specific, let's say, items or accessories. So let's say you are an equipment manufacturer and the customer wants a particular configuration with certain facilities or certain added equipment. So you have a bomb which is configurable for that particular customer. It's a custom configuration, and this kind of a configuration, as you can see, is available for personal computers, cars. The ideal example is Dell. You know, Dell used to make computers only against a customer order, especially for the enterprises. So big corporations used to order the computers or the laptops, and they used to exactly specify the specification or the configuration they want, and they used to make it as per the customer requirement. Similarly, there are high-end cars where a customer can choose every aspect, right from what kind of engine, what kind of body, what kind of color, what kind of seats, what kind of gearbox, that is transmission. So all these can be configured, and these are the bill of materials which are known as configurable bill of materials. Also, you have the data center hardware, software, etc. Software bomb is a list of components of a software, such as mix of commercial and open source products to ensure disparate software components working together. So many a times you buy a software, it can contain software from different sources which are bundled together. Even when you look at the ERP system, you may buy ERP from one company, but then you can take specific modules like the HR or the CRM software. You can take it from different companies and it is bundled into the ERP system of another company. A template bomb provides a standard list of parts that are regularly serviced. Each bomb varies in structure and detail. So these are the various kinds of bill of materials that we saw. So a bomb includes 11 core components. So levels, the level number explains where the part fits into the bomb hierarchy. Part name. So one is the hierarchy. The highest level is the final assembly. If there is a level below, so you are talking of the parent and the child level, correct? Then you have the part name. So a record of a part name helps the manufacturer identify the parts and provide information about them. So even if you are outsourcing certain parts, like let's say in a laptop, you are integrating the hard disk or a SSD drive or a RAM. So the part name here can correspond to the part number of your supplier. The part numbers are used as shorthand to refer to and identify the parts. And intelligent or significant part number denotes some information about the part. So we saw, as far as the codification is concerned, how you can codify. So you can have an intelligent codification where, looking at the code, you can make out what part it is. And there is another codification which is an arbitrary number, where it is simply a multiple digit code which you cannot decipher looking at it. You will have to look up the description in the ERP system. manufacturer name. So listing of the manufacturer's name helps identify a part source. So if it's a very customized kind of a part, then the manufacturer's name may be necessary. If it's a product which is a standard product, it's an industry standard, then you need not look up the manufacturer's name, because you can buy that component from any manufacturer and that should fit into the assembly. Part phase indicates where each part in the product life cycle, that is, a new part will be in the unreleased or in design phase, and a revision level indicates the version of a revision of the part. So many a times designs undergo change. The product has a problem, there is a market complaint, and maybe there are different versions of the design. And there are versions which are yet to be released. That means a new product is under development, which is yet to be released in the market. So there could be different phases as far as the parts are concerned. So it could be the legacy systems, or the revision part systems, or the parts which are yet to be launched in new products. Alternate parts, it informs if a part can be swapped for another one if the original part is unavailable. So many a times you are able to swap the parts. So let us say that you are buying a microprocessor from one company. Now suppose it is in short supply, or for some reason it's not available. Very likely you can replace it with another microprocessor chip from another manufacturer, and it will still give you a good result. So these are the alternate parts. Creating an effective bomb, priority analysis. So it defines which parts are critical and helps users prioritize purchasing. For example, parts with higher values and longer lead times get a priority. So in a bill of material or in an MRP system, you can also define what is the lead time, and based on the lead time, the system will prompt you that if you want to meet a particular delivery schedule, when the part has to be ordered or when the PO has to be released. Description provides a detail of each part and helps the distinguish among similar parts by color and dimension. So description will tell you what is the difference. So it could be that there are two hard disks which are exactly the same dimension, have similar kind of a performance, but may have slightly different capacity in terms of storage. So this description will help you distinguish between the two. Quantity indicates the number of components needed. A unit of measurement is defined for each part. So it could be that in a car, when you are assembling the car, a particular kind of a bolt, you require X number. So one example, a car has 5 tires. You have 4 tires and 1 stepney in the dicky. So the thing is, when you are creating a bomb, for every car, you define that 5 tires will be required. Now take another example. There are some cars, they come with alloy wheels. So in that case, what the companies do is they'll give you 4 alloy wheels, and the 5th wheel, which is the stepney, will be an ordinary steel hub, an ordinary steel wheel which is given, because it is to be used only temporarily. So in such a case, the bill of material will contain 2 items. There will be 4 tires or 4 alloy wheels, and there'll be 1 steel wheel. So quantity is important here. Description also, you can see that for the tire, there are 2 different descriptions. Procurement specification. So it describes how parts are purchased and made. The designation P, M, and C are often used. They stand for purchased, modified, or custom built. Comments and notes. A place to document changes and write notes as the project takes shape. Notes may include images and diagrams of the part or assemblies. Sometimes they also can contain additional notes or comments which need to be taken into account while manufacturing or supplying the components. So in summary, Creating an effective bomb is a part of supply chain. Supply chain is a core component of ERP and MRP. Unless the company has a bill of material for each of the assemblies, it cannot plan the production or assembly of the parts. And hence, we realize that a bill of material is very fundamental document for a production company in the manufacture of any assembly or any finished goods. So MRP is the work of planning of various requirements and is a great help to the materials manager and the supply chain management team. MRP is completely based on the bills of material. If the bills of material is wrong, your MRP will be wrong. And the role of the bill of material cannot be discounted or underestimated. In fact, as accurate the bomb, the precise will be the output from the MRP system. The accuracy can be further refined and improved with newer technologies of machine learning and Internet of Things and artificial intelligence. Thank you.